You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Yankees reporter Brian Hoke. And Brian, kind of dark times in the Bronx right now as the Yankees have struggled a bit. Nice series over the weekend with the Royals last week where they took 3 of 4 from the defending champs, although the defending champs are having their own struggles. But when you look at this Yankees team and the issues that they're having, you got to look at this pitching staff, and it's just not living up to what you hoped it would be. Let's start with Michael Pineda because he really struggled on Tuesday. The ERA up to 6.6. And it sounds like it's a situation where when he's in the stretch, he's not pitching as effectively as when he's out of the windup, which isn't that rare, but it seems kind of drastic with Pineda.
Yeah, and it's kind of baffled pitching coach Larry Rothschild a little bit. And I think that the one thing that the Yankees believe is kind of an outlier and is confusing them the most is he seems to be throwing strikes. He's getting ahead of guys. He struck out 9 last night, so it's not like he's not getting swings and misses, but it just, for whatever reason, it seems like he's having trouble putting hitters away. And, you know, you don't strike out 9 hitters without putting some away, but it just seems to be coming and going too much. And that's the inconsistency that has defined Michael Pineda's 2016 season. It's actually defined a whole lot of his career. You know, he had the big 16-strikeout game, and I think that's what everybody points back at last season on Mother's Day. But and that's an indication of what he can be when everything's going right. The problem is that's just not happening very often. And you're seeing too much of this other Michael Pineda, the guy who's 0-5 with a 6.6 right now.
And I know he mentioned, you know, the talk of, you know, are you going to be replaced in the rotation and stuff like that. But when you look at this Yankees team, there's not really anybody to replace him, right? I mean, he needs to get it figured out.
Yeah, it's hard to say, especially with Luis Severino on the disabled list. CC Sabathia is going to come back, but it looks like Ivan Nova's in the rotation to stay at this point. There's not a whole lot that can replace him. You've already seen them call on some of the depth. That's why Chad Green came up from AAA. I don't think you're going to make that case. Luis Sessa has been up. They really need Michael Pineda to figure out. There's a reason that this guy was their number 2 starter coming out of spring training right behind Masahiro Tanaka. They believe in him. They think that he can still figure it out. But as Larry Rothschild said last night, this season's about a quarter of the way over at this point. They really need to figure it out.
You mentioned Chad Green made his debut on Monday. He took the loss in that game. He was part of that Justin Wilson trade at the winter meetings that at the time, I know a lot of people kind of scratched their heads about that move when it happened. Now that we're a bit into Chad Green's career in the Yankees organization, how does the team feel about him? Obviously, they felt good enough about him that they let him start on Monday.
Yeah, and he earned it. He had pitched very well down at AAA, but and I was one of those people scratching their heads when that trade came down. I thought there might be another move involved, and they might flip one of those guys. But Cashman stuck to his word. I mean, they needed that pitching depth. Obviously, they've called on it already. I think what you're seeing with Chad Green is he's a work in progress, as most pitchers are when they're at that age. They get their first call to the big leagues. You saw signs of it. He struck out the first batter he faced. He pitched okay. I think he would be the first to admit that he was disappointed with the way it went. But I think what you're seeing there is he needs to go down to AAA and work on a third pitch because when you have that two-pitch mix starter, that might work against AAA lineups, but big league lineups will get you, especially the second or third times through the order.
Not to continue to harp on the pitching issues, but there's not a lot else right now, so we got to talk about Luis Severino now, Brian, because here's another guy who obviously had struggled plenty, 0-6 with the ERA, almost 7.5. So things weren't great already, but now on the disabled list, the mild tricep strain. Is this at least a chance as he goes on the DL to maybe take a step back? And because he's almost more perplexing to me than Pineda, because in Pineda you have a guy who throughout his career has had his ups and downs and his inconsistencies. But the Severino we saw in 2015 looked like a guy that was going to take off in 2016.
For sure. And you don't know how long that tricep strain may have been bothering him. I know the Yankees said it wasn't something pre-existing that he didn't, he never sought treatment for it. But you don't know. I mean, this is a young kid getting his first crack at the big leagues. Is he really going to run to the trainer and say something's bothering him? I know I wouldn't. So you don't want to go on the disabled list, for sure. So you keep pitching until literally can't pitch anymore, and that's the situation he's in right now. You know, it remains to be seen if he's going to jump back into the rotation. I think he may be able to benefit from going down to AAA, and this is a situation where they can say it's a rehab assignment, and he'll get two or three starts down there, and it saves them the embarrassment of actually having to demote him to the minors, and then they can bring him back when he gets everything figured out. So I don't think he's that far off. I think, you know, this is a situation we've talked about a lot with Pineda. You're seeing signs of it. It's just the consistency hasn't been there for him. He's been missing a lot of spots. Severino has, and maybe that was injury-related. We certainly didn't see that in the 11 starts at the end of last season, so it's hard for me to imagine that he went home over the winter and forgot how to pitch that way. So I think that there's a lot of things in motion there. Maybe a little timeout is the best thing for Severino. And, you know, the Yankees actually had a pretty good homestand despite the fact that their starting pitching didn't really give them a whole lot of quality starts. They were able to go 7-3, but surprising that you come out to the desert, a team that has struggled so badly, the Diamondbacks at home, and you lose the first two games of that series, and you're staring at a series sweep.
The path between Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, and the Bronx has been a busy one lately, not just on the pitching side. Gary Sanchez was briefly up with the team, basically for a day. He went back down. Now Rob Refsnyder with the team. How long could his stay be if he – obviously they want him to be in the lineup a lot more, which would happen at the AAA level, but how long could Refsnyder stick up with the team?
Yeah, it remains to be seen. I think that he's here as an extra guy off the bench right now, and Joe Girardi said he could play him at second base, third base, right field, maybe even left field in a pinch if he had to. He's been rotating down at AAA, playing two games at each position, and he's been on kind of a schedule with that, and he's enjoying it. But I think that when Alex Rodriguez comes back off a disabled list later this week, and it's not going to be Thursday, that's what we found out late last night, but they're still thinking it could be Friday, could be Saturday, could be Sunday, no matter what day, I think that you're going to see Refsnyder head back down to AAA, and A-Rod will take that roster spot.
Yeah, A-Rod, a little bit of a delay with that hamstring, not quite going to be ready. He has taken some batting practice. The other guy that this team really needs to get back when we talk about the pitching is CC Sabathia. Is he still on schedule for Friday?
That's what they say, yeah. Now, he pitched a simulated game in the stadium in New York and faced three innings simulated style, and so far, so good. You know, I think that you may want to bunt on him if you're the Oakland A's. I think that he's going to have some trouble covering first base. He might be a little ginger about that. I mean, this is a guy who wasn't necessarily covering first base great anyway. You remember he's kind of on the bare bones there with the two knees. So I think it should be good enough to pitch. I think that for CeCe, he grew up in nearby Vallejo. It's always a lot of friends and family for him when he goes to the Coliseum. And if you look at his career numbers, he's kind of struggled there. So I know that he'll be looking forward to putting on a good show and pitching in front of his parents and, well, his mom and other family members. And I think that it's going to be a big start for CeCe. I think he wants the ball in Oakland for sure, and they're going to give it to him.
Yeah, and his last start before going on the DL was his best start of the season, and the Yankees could certainly use some more of that. Last thing I wanted to talk to you about, Brian, was this week is the 75th anniversary of the start of Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hit streak way back in 1941. And on MLB.com, Yankees.com, they're doing a kind of a daily update of what he did as if it was happening now, which is kind of neat to read. They're kind of daily recaps of the games in 1941. So that's how it's being handled kind of on MLB.com. Do the Yankees have anything planned this summer to commemorate the 75th anniversary of that historic streak?
I would be surprised if they didn't.
Right.
I think that those things are kind of held close to the vest, but I've been following along on Yankees.com and reading the day-by-day, and it's pretty cool just to see those names popping back up, and you get the little news alerts on your phone, and Joe DiMaggio has hit a home run in the third inning against the White Sox, and it pops up just the same way that as if Brian McCann or Brett Gardner had hit one. So it's pretty cool. I'm actually enjoying it. I get a kick out of it. So I'm sure that the Yankees are going to do something to commemorate that. That is a record that I can't imagine will ever get broken. I think that you look at all of them and you say that 56 straight games, you know how difficult that is. You know how hard that is in this day and age. And trust me, I've tried to play that beat the streak game on MLB.com, and I think I've gotten up to about 8 or 9. So I can't imagine what it's like to actually be in the batter's box and try to do that. You've seen a couple of guys make runs at it, and it just seems like you get into the 30s and forget about it. So 56, I think, is a record that's going to stand forever.
Yeah, and if you are following around, people out there following the stories, the Yankees currently stuck in a slump in 1941 as well, and things turned around better that year. So there's hope for 2016 for sure. All right, great stuff as always, Brian. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Yankees edition. For Brian Hoke, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.